Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Some Audio Guy Weekly Wrap-Up Podcast. It's been a great week for the blog. Pretty much have doubled page hits from just a couple weeks ago. Still, my most popular posting is the looking for group Slaughter Your World. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a friend of mine. His name is Dave Mitchell. Did a parody of The Little Mermaid, and he was kind enough to provide me with all of the lyrics that he used for the song. It's an almost note for note exact parody of Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid. It's pretty funny, especially if you're into World of Warcraft satire, because I'm not a big World of Warcraft fan, but I do enjoy satirizing World of Warcraft and all of that fantasy stuff, which is always good times. So anyway, in personal news, last night went and saw Superbad. Awesome. See it, learn it, live it. It's good times, people. You should go check it out. Did that for the birthday celebration. A couple friends and I, we went and Mrs. Audio Guy and a couple friends and I went and caught it. Got drunk at PF Chang's first. It's always fun off of cans of Guinness. It's really lame. But yeah, it was a really, really fun time. I totally recommend checking it out. It's a great flick. It's No Hot Fuzz, which I just got on DVD, which is Très Awesome, which I believe is French for very awesome. But now Superbad Theaters, now go check it out. It's good times. So anyway, we're just going to go through some of the more popular stories, and you'll pardon as I'm actually on the website right now. I didn't really plan this out in advance. But these are some of the more popular stories that we posted on Some Audio Guy, and totally worth checking out. So, from last week, coming in Sunday the 12th, exactly a week ago, one of the highest rated posts I had was the G4ia Awards 2007 results. Was pretty surprised that we saw an almost clean sweep by games on the Xbox 360. It was really Xbox 360 and Wii. There was nothing PS3 coming in. Some notables for me, Hottest Babe, Kasumi, as voiced by my pal Kari Wahlgren. Awesome. Good times. She was she was pretty stoked about that. And then also, I was just happy to see Command & Conquer 3 take in Best Strategy Game. I'm not a big fantasy game player. I dabble in first-person shooters, but Mrs. Audio Guy loses me completely to strategy games. And I've been playing Command & Conquer since the very, very beginning. So seeing CNC3 with all of their cheesy, fun, awesome, full motion video take it was awesome. That and the fact that I know a couple of the guys that were in the game. Peter Giles, Peter Jessup, Billy Brown. And also Kari Wahlgren from also Hottest Babe. Wahlgren also plays a couple of the more communications type units that you can play in Command & Conquer 3. So I was just really stoked to see that. There was a quick post, where to buy cheap DVDs. I'm a sucker for top 10 lists, so you might want to check that out. Just awesome places to go and dig up DVDs. I added another link to the right-hand side under websites that you should be checking out. And a couple guys that I've worked with before, Bob and Burn, and then also Burn Offit and Brian Chase, host, it's not that they really host, but they write and produce sketch comedy under The Monkey Box, which you can check out at www.themonkeybox.com. Really funny guys, really specializing in some great short form, surreal sketch style comedy. And then you can also check out Bob and Burns 298, just a quick, almost Waiting for Godot riff on The 300, which I also just got on DVD. You should go get it. followed that up immediately with a post podcast website traffic, where to go for listeners. I actually had a really hard time writing this post up. It is frustratingly difficult trying to dig up ratings and statistics on websites. I've been using Alexa. I don't believe their reach statistics are indicative of actual web traffic. I mean, when we're especially looking at Nielsen having just swapped over page views versus time per page versus pages per user per visit. There's so many conflicting measurements for how a website does that it gets really frustrating trying to dig up information. And other things too, like I cannot find good statistics on iTunes traffic. If you've got a podcast up on iTunes, how do you know what kind of reach your podcast is having? I mean, I think that's ridiculous. I cannot find a good, consistent measurement for what kind of reach iTunes podcasts have. So I went through with Alexa, which I know is flawed, but at least it's flawed consistently for every website, and dug through Podcast Directory, Podcast.net, Podcast Alley, Odeo, Podomatic, pretty much every service that I've kind of stumbled myself on. If anyone out there listening to this knows of, one, another good podcast service that's got some pretty decent reach, or maybe its own built-in community like Podomatic, and two, how to accurately demonstrate what type of traffic, what kind of reach these sites and services can garner, I would really appreciate it. Definitely drop me a line, someaudioguy@gmail.com, because that is one thing that has consistently frustrated me about the new media that we're facing right now, is there's no way to show its worth outside of maybe advertising clicks, which is ridiculous when, you know, for example, this right here, I want to do as like a free service. I would still like to know how many people have listened to it. So, you know, drop me a line. I'd really appreciate it. Next story we had up that actually did garner a few hits was Google's removal of their premium video service. If anyone out there, it wasn't very popular, but if anyone out there dabbled in Google's premium video service, like for renting or downloading content, that content is gone. It was a story on Dig. It was a pretty popular. I think it had about 800 hits when I posted. The need for DRM circumvention, Google selleth, then taketh away, was the name of the story. Basically, I'll just read the quote from the Dig story. Google just demonstrated how completely bizarre an anti-consumer DRM technology can be. Most importantly, by pulling the plug on its service, Google just proved why customers and consumers have to be allowed to circumvent copy controls. And I totally agree. You have paid for this content, and now the content is gone. And there was no way for you to save it or to back it up. This is a legitimate, in my opinion, this is a legitimate fair use situation. And again, it's another one of those renting versus leasing content arguments that I think will spur more people onto microtransactions. So we'll be perpetually renting content. We just won't ever own content. That being said, I've also started using Netflix Watch It Now quite a bit. And that I think is a perfect model for, you have no expectation of ownership, and yet the cost is so reasonable for viewing content that you just don't care. Whereas previous models, you had an idea of ownership that can be taken away from you at any point. I think Google's actions here, while I'm usually a very, very huge and staunch Google supporter, I think Google's actions here border on asshattery, and I think really frame the debate in a pretty easy and frustrating way to understand why these things need to mature, because I think they're just horribly, horribly anti-consumer. Next post we had up, Thor to get his own superhero movie. And I posted the most bodice ripper romance novel cover of Thor I could find. And it's awesome. So you should check out the post just for the ridiculous picture of Thor that I found. I was never a big Thor fan. I'm more jazzed for Ed Norton's The Hulk coming up. There are rumors of another Ultimates. What is it? Yeah, Marvel direct-to-DVD animated feature coming out, which will feature Thor, but then maybe also have like a Hulk tie-in or something like that. I'm more amped about the cartoons right now than I am, say, the like a live-action Thor. I just don't see how it could be a good movie. Live-action Thor screams worse than Fantastic Four to me. It's just so cheesy a concept of the Norse gods and sort of a fantasy setting with modern day influences. I don't see how it can be anything other than frustrating. That being said, my very next post to that, which has like no hits, is an old YouTube clip of the Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno Hulk TV show, where apparently he fought Thor in the TV show, or at least some guy dressed up as a Norse god with a lightning hammer. It might not be Thor. I don't know. I can't remember. I remember being entranced by that show as a kid, but truth be told, I can't remember a single goddamn plot from any of the episodes at all. I just remember Bill Bixby in small town football jock picks on Bill Bixby. Bill Bixby turns into Hulk, wrecks his ass. The reporter tries to track him down. That's all I remember from every episode of The Hulk I ever watched. Next post up was from Monday, August 13th, interview with Scott Brick, audiobook narrator. If any of you out in the listening community, fans of the podcast, fans of the blog, if any of you have any desire at all to become narrators yourself, I highly recommend going to check out LibriVox. As a primer to checking out LibriVox, you should totally read this short little fluff interview with Scott Brick. Scott Brick is an amazing audiobook narrator and has narrated, I think, almost 350 full novels. He's award-winning, just a really cool guy. Really chill, really laid back. I had the opportunity to record with him once for a series of auditions he did through our agency. And it was just a really cool cat. I can't really recommend his books enough, so I would definitely go check those out. But also, he just has a couple little little life experience kernels that I think are totally worth the read. If it's something that you're interested in, or even if you're just interested in how these books are produced, you know, kind of like the behind the scenes sort of a thing. I'm a horrible, horrible junkie for movie commentaries and stuff like that. So I'm consistently entranced by how these things are all put together. Because you pop in a CD, you listen to this guy reading to you, and it seems totally seamless. You know, I really think about the fact that, you know, narrating a couple hundred pages can take several days. And it's this guy talking for days at a time, and that, you know, he doesn't really get a break, and it's hour upon hour upon hour of getting this book done. I mean, it's pretty incredible what you have to be able, the kind of focus and determination you have to pull off an audiobook. So just knowing that this is such a silly little interview, but it does manage to still set the stage for the type of, the kind of work involved, it's totally worth a read. You should check it out. So the next post up that I had a little traffic on was from Tuesday the 14th, titled "This is What Happens Without Net Neutrality, ISPs to BBC, We Will Throttle iPlayer Unless You Pay Up." I'm a huge net neutrality advocate. For the future of technology, I don't know outside of, you know, the telecom, the TV, analog TV air spectrum that's being auctioned off, I don't know that there is a bigger threat facing commerce on the internet right now than the potential for a non-neutral internet. This is sort of foretelling what can happen. Basically, ISPs in the UK have decided that BBC's iPlayer is going to use up a significant amount of bandwidth. So they're going to charge the BBC more for their bandwidth than they would, say, another service. So, I mean, your per megabyte cost or per gigabyte cost is going to be significantly higher for the BBC than for another company that maybe does streaming video or does, you know, any type of business on the web. So this is really out and out blackmail. It is sanctioned blackmail. It is accepted blackmail, and it is in this case specifically designed to stunt the growth of a new web technology. I can't think of a better, you know, example for how horrible not having net neutrality on the books is. So on the actual post, I've got links to the Dig story. I've got, of course, because anytime this comes up, you have to reference it back, the Ted Stevens video where he explains to us that the internet is not a truck, it's a series of tubes. And I also posted a quick link to a story about the FTC caving on net neutrality. Now, just recently on Dig, I did notice there were some stories about the FCC head, the chairman of the FCC, claiming that net neutrality was going to be one of his big, you know, one of his big crusade points. We'll have to see whether or not that goes anywhere, because I have little faith in the FCC right now. But just to wrap the whole story up, for those of you who are still kind of confused about the concept of net neutrality, I've also posted a short video from The Ninja, from AskANinja.com, as he explains what net neutrality is, and it's pretty funny. You should check it out. Immediately following up that story, I posted a story on live concerts being sold on USB memory sticks. Not really a new concept, but it's one that's sort of creeping back up again as people find newer and more creative ways to make money off of music. I think with all that the music industry's been through over the last couple of years, from the original Napster to now, there are some people that are really thinking creatively about how music is produced and how music is sold. I think the entire market in the near term, I don't know about the long term, but in the near term is probably going to be one of more value being placed on the performance of music as opposed to distribution of the recordings of music. I mean, I think in the near term, I can totally see a setup where smaller record labels are using studio recorded music that's distributed as a loss leader to get people and fans interested in going to concerts and then making real money off of the concerts. But anyway, this is basically a story about bands recording the actual live concert. And then at the very end of the concert, you are able to take that recording and sell it on USB memory sticks. And it's something that I've seen done in like coffee shops on like an open mic night. I know like the Grateful Dead used to set up special recording areas where you could use professional grade recording equipment to record their concerts and then, you know, do pretty much whatever you want with those recordings as long as they were yours. I know like the Bare Naked Ladies almost encourage the trading and the sharing of their live concerts. So I think there are a few people that are doing some really groundbreaking work in making sure that music is still valued and heard. It's just, unfortunately, I think the album as we know it is going to continue to be devalued until someone comes out with, you know, the golden ticket of selling music again. The last story I had posted from Tuesday, August 14th is I have a fetish for famous people in recording situations and their outtakes. I don't know if you've read the blog at all, you know that I've got Shatner's flip out. I've got De Niro's, I think promo flip out. Of course you can't be interested in voiceover at all without having heard Orson Welles' Frozen Peas spot. Here under protest is beef burgers. Well, trolling YouTube for flip outs and, you know, famous people, I stumbled on a webtoon from Ruliark. He's an animator on YouTube, and he posted a South Park style animation of Jack Palance's flip out, and it is quite possibly one of the funniest little webtoons I've ever seen put together. And the audio is all totally legit. It is Jack Palance flipping out at a bunch of session engineers as they're trying to record some commercial, and he is just being a condescending prick. So it's totally something that if you're into, you know, watching famous people flip out, which I'm not really, unless it's in a recording situation. Like, I have no love for the paparazzi or anything like that, but having been a studio engineer for so long now, it's just good times, because I've had these experiences with much, much, much lesser famous people, and it's great having, like, sort of recorded proof that these people can flip out on you. The only story I had posted on Wednesday that got any hits was Jonathan Ross to work for free in Halo 3. And that just pisses me off. Jonathan Ross took over the UK and Australian distribution of Shrek 2 and 3 for the Ugly Stepsister. I believe was voiced by Larry King in the American distribution. Is that right? I'm totally wrong there, I think. But anyway, so he took over for those markets as sort of being a recognizable voice. Apparently, he's just decided that he's going to do one of the horrible, awful aliens in Halo 3 and for free. And that's just ridiculous. I work so hard in my day-to-day job trying to convince people that video game voiceover actors are worth far more than, you know, scale buyouts. And this guy's just giving his shit away for free. It kind of makes me a little frustrated that that's what you know, all this has come to. The only post I had up, the only post, hits or no hits, I don't even think I got any hits on this one, for August the 16th was the CD turns 25. I am exactly 2 years older than the CD. Oh my God, that is ridiculous. Yeah, normally my birthdays were always sort of peppered by the "this is the anniversary of Elvis's death" news headline, so I was really, really pleasantly surprised to find this floating around. CD turned 25. We have existed with CD technology for a quarter of a century. That is incredible, as it is still one of the most preferred methods of data distribution you can find. Post for Friday, August 17th. Voices.com is a crazy place. You should totally check it out if you have any interest in being a voiceover artist or a commercial artist, or, you know, if you're into animation or video game voice acting or something like that. I kind of find their forums to be a little on the post-apocalyptic anarchist side of the voiceover community. And I think some of their loudest people being as non-union and the market will decide attitude is sort of counterproductive. Not that the unions are doing a great job right now, but they still exist solely to make people more money for their craft. They're totally, you know, I can see both sides of the argument, but why anyone would devalue their craft to get more work just seems counterintuitive to me. So some of those cats over there can be really militant and really crazy, but on the whole, it's a great community chock full of awesome information for people wanting to, you know, get started or wanting to find ways to further their career, you know, information like that. Anyway, voices.com is holding a Simpsons soundalike contest. And it looks like it, you know, anytime you have something like that, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to be giving $100 Amazon gift certificates to the best Homer, the best Marge, the best Bart, best Lisa, and best Krusty the Clown. So if you got one of those under your belt, you need to record it and shoot it up to voices.com, because you could win yourself a little scratch on the side, and that's always fun. Quick note on, let's see, this was Saturday, so this was yesterday, August the 18th. Quick note, Circuit Court finds the waiver in Singular AT&T's contract to be unconscionable. So I'll read the actual, this was a story up on Dig, I think had a couple hundred hits when I posted. Like many companies, Singular has a little thing in their contract saying that if you use their service, you void your right to a class action lawsuit and instead have to go through mandatory binding arbitration, which is basically an extra judicial corporate court exempt from many of the basic laws and procedures and rights of real court. And apparently, a judge on the circuit court level decided that this was unconscionable, that this was unconstitutional. So hopefully we'll be seeing a smattering of smaller sort of personal lawsuits against giant organizations. I think, you know, like AT&T, Verizon, my cell phone's with Sprint, and I can't stand them most of the time. They're not nearly as bad as some of the other companies. But seeing as how we should be able to unlock our cell phones, that the bills shouldn't be as cryptic as they are, that basic features and services should be offered at fair market value. I find the entire cell phone market to be totally collusive, especially in like pricing between different companies. I think it's about time consumers had a little more leverage to kind of shake up what's going on. I was hoping that could also be accomplished with the analog TV air auction that's supposed to be happening soon, but it looks like lobbyists have managed to get their claws into that as well. So we'll have to see. You know, I'm a huge Google fan. If Google has the wherewithal to get in there and buy up a whole ton of spectrum and start offering some cheaper services, but you know, that won't happen until late 2009. In the meantime, some more lawsuits throwing cell phone companies' way, I don't necessarily think would be such a bad idea. There was a quick post, the last story on Saturday, quick post from the BBC, music good for sleep. Researchers have shown just 45 minutes of relaxing music before bedtime can make for a restful night. This is such a great no-brainer story. You know, you kind of look at it and you go, duh. But just seeing, you know, that there is some, because I suffer from mild insomnia, that, you know, before I go to bed, I need at least a good half hour away from a TV, away from a computer. I need to let my brain sort of detach for a bit. And it just sort of, you know, there's something sort of comforting in the reassurance that when I throw in my earbuds to some light Benny Goodman or some Ella Fitzgerald or something like that, just to be able to unwind enough to go to sleep, that, you know, I'm kind of doing the right thing. From this morning, we have a couple posts for all you nerds out there like me. another free batch of Alex Albrecht SMS sounds are out there. You know, if you watch any Dignation, you know, Alex Albrecht loves to do little noises before introducing all of his stories. And apparently someone went through and sampled a whole bunch of them, like 13 of them. So now you can use Alex Albrecht's story notifications as SMS alerts, which is kind of hysterical. I'm hoping I'm going to be doing a series of robot alerts, you know,
you have missed your email,
or
you have missed a call or your new voicemail,
or something like that. I'm hoping to have those out at the end of this month. So, you know, be on the lookout for those if you need any more bad cell phone alerts and sounds. Another, just like the beginning of our little session here, another top 10 list from this morning. 10 sites for free and legal music. Again, I'm a sucker for top 10 lists. I love going through them, but I was actually kind of surprised by some of these. Like, they mention archive.org, and of course when you sign up for eMusic you get like 25 free downloads and a couple services like that. I kind of knew about iTunes doing free, like their Free Music Tuesday, but I don't use iTunes for my iPod, so I've never been in a position to check out what kind of music they offer. From what I understand, it's only a couple free tracks, but apparently Amazon does the same thing. And I think eMusic also does like their free daily download. But, you know, other services, archive.org is a great place to go for public domain, or I think Creative Commons live concerts. I mean, just gigs and gigs of Grateful Dead, if you're into the Grateful Dead, and then other, you know, other bands too. But there are a whole bunch of other services that I had never checked out before. So if, you know, you're wanting to sort of, this isn't one of those things where you're going to find good music that's being played on the radio. I think, you know, anyone who checks out any of these sites for free and legal music, what you have to be expecting and what you have to hope to be accomplishing is you're going to find some stuff to really sort of fill out your music collection. If you want to shake up your music collection a little, you'll find some great eclectic music. You'll find some great raw recordings. You'll find some awesome stuff out there, but you can't expect to find, like, you know, the Fratellis or OK Go or Arctic Monkeys or anything like that. That is kind of now in the mainstream. But anyway, check it out, because there are some awesome sites up on there that are totally worth looking at. The very last post to wrap up the weekly wrap-up, that was retarded, the very last post that I posted for today, and I'm going to take a break now from all this and go get some chores done, is I found a great YouTube documentary, a great documentary that has been posted on YouTube featuring the voices of Dragon Ball Z. Love it or hate it, I love it. Dragon Ball Z is an awesome waste of time guilty pleasure show. It is nothing but the best plotless fight scenes from your favorite, you know, Hong Kong action flicks, all mashed up into the silly animation with ridiculous hairdos, and I just can't get enough of it. So anyway, it's was released for, I think it was released about a year ago for the release of Budokai 3, which is one of the Dragon Ball Z video games, and it's, you know, it's a 27-minute documentary about the people behind the voices of all of the characters in the show and on the game. And my favorite part, and I mentioned on the actual blog post, my favorite part is around the 6-minute mark where the actor who plays Goku is totally laughing. I mean, it's kind of a serious situation, but he's totally laughing about the fact that one of his screaming sessions, he totally passed out because he hadn't kept himself in shape from the last recording that they did. It's one of those really frustrating things is having just recorded auditions for so long, I think, you know, people kind of lose sight of how much work is actually involved when you do, say, something even as cheesy as a video game. An actor stands, if it's a union video game, to only make about $700 and will probably spend about 4 hours in a booth screaming their bloody guts out. And literally, I mean, by the time you're done with that, you know, you probably have shredded the inside of your throat. It's just not really worth it yet. I'm still like shocked and appalled that no one's come around to sort of change up how video games pay, you know, performers. Cause I mean, it's just a brutal exercise. And, I mean, you know, so many games going non-union, I, you know, you can make some decent scratch, but you also lose years of your recording, your potential recording life by doing every game that you do. So again, like, you know, kind of why I was so upset about the whole Jonathan Ross story is, you know, it's so much work we have ahead of us to convince people that the people that are voicing the voice actors that are voicing your favorite games sort of deserve a lot more, I think, than what they are paid for a video game session, or at least some sort of basic residual structure. So if the game does really, really, really well, well, you know, a component of that was the performances given by the voice actors, and I think they deserve to be fairly compensated for that. So anyway, that wraps up the weekly wrap-up for Some Audio Guy, the week ending Sunday, August 19th. Be on the lookout. I am going to be doing those SMS, cell phone, PDA sounds for alerts, hoping to get a good robot voice started here pretty soon. I have posted up a couple poetry reads already, an Edgar Allan Poe story, and I'm looking to do a more expansive actual poetry record, which will probably be a monthly segment coming up soon. I'm a sucker for Poe, so I did another Poe. Mrs. Audio Guy is probably going to do some Shakespeare, maybe a sonnet or two. We might have some original work from a mutual friend of ours, and another one of my pals might do some Richard III. So really, you know, if you're a big old audio geek, it'll be a lot of fun. If not, you can listen and just go, what are you guys doing? So it should be a lot of fun. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Please keep checking out the blog. Comments always welcome. You can tag me directly, someaudioguy@gmail.com. It's all one word, no dashes or slashes. And then the blog, of course, is http://someaudioguy.blogspot.com. Readership always appreciated. Comments always welcome. Questions always revered. So until next week, keep reading, keep posting, keep commenting, and I will talk to you all soon. Take care. Hello, everybody, and thank you for turning...